the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, currently marking its year of dedication. Our dramatic program today, The Trolley Bible of the Broadway Line, was written by the late Morton Wishenbrand and is the final one in a series of 13 on American Jewish regional history presented in observance of the 20th year of the Eternal Light.
Amsterdam Avenue. Transfer here for the 125th Street Crosstown.
Good night, driver.
Good night, sir.
It's your last trip tonight?
Ah, that it is. It's to the garage with a bus and home for me.
Yeah, some people have all the luck. I gotta work tonight.
Ah, very good night to you, sir. Watch your step getting off there.
Father danced sprightly, her mother cried quietly. They held her so tightly, she cried in alarm. I played in the wild wood with elves of my childhood. Dear father and mother, they did me no harm.
The great city of New York, only one bus driver ever sings those words to that melody. I know him well. Brian Hannon is his name. Several times each month, when I enter a Broadway bus...
No, you don't, Professor. Put away that nickel.
But, Mr. Hannon...
Not in my bus, Professor.
You ride as my guest.
It's likely that I am the only individual who enjoys a traveling scholarship from the Third Avenue Transit Corporation.
Step to the rear of the bus, please. Kindly move to the rear of the bus. No, not you, Professor.
Well, you're rather busy today, Mr. Hannon.
I like it busy. It makes the day pass.
His great bulk fills the driver's seat like some pale-faced, blue-eyed Buddha. His eyes are fixed on the traffic, but his mind is fixed on other things. Strange things to preoccupy a bus driver.
Professor, I have considered the matter for a long time.
Oh, you have, Miss Hannon.
I have, sir. And it is my opinion that the scholars have made a mess of the 15th verse of the third chapter of the book of Genesis.
Excuse me, driver. I forgot to ask for transfers.
Oh, how many, madam?
Two, please.
There you are.
Thank you.
Don't mention it. Now, Professor.
Yes?
What is the Hebrew word for sea?
Zera.
Exactly. Now, in the Gaelic, it is Sheol.
Driver, do you pass Columbia University?
Oh, madam, we never pass a university. We always stop.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Now, Professor, in Latin, the word for seed is semen.
Yes?
Yes. Now, it is significant, sir, that the Hebrew Zera and the Gaelic Sheol are masculine in gender, while the Latin semen is feminine and the English seed is neuter.
Ah.
116th Street. Kindly leave by the center door, please.
Driver, can you change your $10 bill?
In the city of New York, on the Broadway route of the Third Avenue Transit Corporation, a scholar drives a bus. And it's appropriate somehow that his route takes him between the Union Theological Seminary on the one side and the Jewish Theological Seminary on the other. Past Columbia University, the Midtown Times Square. and east down 42nd Street under the shadow of the great Fifth Avenue Public Library. There is a seemliness in this. Brian Hannon is bus driver, historian, biblical scholar, poet. Who is he? How did he come to me and I to him? For Brian Hannon is a Roman Catholic, and I am an associate professor of rabbinics. Well, Brian Hannon's story begins in County Galway, Ireland. A day came when the black and tans of the British Army of Occupation had a question for Brian Hannon.
Good day to you. Proprietor, I said good day to you. It's a civil English greeting which even the Irish may understand and answer.
What do you want?
Your name is Brian Hannon?
It could be. What do you want?
Mr. Hannon, I prefer a civil tone.
What do you want?
Mr. Hannon, you will alter your tone.
The black and tans are not welcome in this shop, and I will use whatever tone I please.
Mr. Hannon, I would speak differently if I were in your place.
I am Irish, and Ireland is my place. It is not for you to instruct me what I am to say in my own place.
Brian Hannon, several troop lorries were blown up last night.
Ah, I am glad to hear it.
I am not amused.
I did not say it to amuse you.
Mr. Hannon, you are insolent.
Now, that is the first decent thing you have said to me since you came in.
Where were you last night, Hannon?
Well, you would not expect me to say that I was busily engaged in blowing up British troop lorries.
No, I wouldn't.
Very well. Last night, I was memorizing my catechism.
You're a liar.
That is not unlikely.
Hannon, you will receive no further warnings. We know that you're a member of the Irish Republican Army. We know that the IRA has been gun-running. We know that the IRA is responsible for blowing up our lorries. I've come here in order to tell you that we've lost patience. England insists on peace in Ireland. We want peace, and we're going to get peace.
Sir.
Yes?
If the English honestly desire peace...
We do.
Then let them stay in England.
Hannon.
What is it, Sean?
I count six lorries in the North Field.
Aye. Our information says there should be 10.
Six is all I could see.
Who is guarding them?
Only one soldier.
Black and tan?
Aye.
The black and tans are not soldiery. Every hoodlum in England is in the black and tans.
Hannon, you don't mean to kill him?
No. I mean to stop the killing of Irish men and women. A moment more, Sean. When the moon is clouded, you know what to do.
I begin on the lorries while you distract the guards.
Good.
Hannon, what will you do to the guard?
Oh, persuade him that honest men ought never to come between a people and their country.
But how will you persuade him?
When I was a lad, I was fullback on the football team. There are ways of persuasion. Ah, there goes the cloud. Over the moon. It is customary, Sean, at such a moment, to speak a stirring phrase for Irish independence. No phrase comes to mind. 'Tis a pity. Come, lad. We've work to do.
Companions, and swiftly ran home, and as swiftly shed tears. Her father was older. Her mother soon told her that she had been lost for the past 7 years. Ho-dee-toodly-toodly-toodly-toe. Huddly-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
Who's there?
An Irishman.
What are you doing there?
Well, I take it that the fact I was singing is probably open to doubt.
Strange time of night to be singing.
On the contrary, song is the only justification for a man to be awake at this hour.
Don't move, or I'll shoot.
Now, sir, what is your justification for being awake at this hour?
You heard what I said. I'll shoot if you move.
That is Ireland's objection to the English army. I'll shoot if you move, says England. But a man and a people must move to live. I breathe air. My heart beats. I must move this hand, you see. And this one, and...
Now listen, you. I said...
Now, man, I have no wish to hurt you. And you had best be quiet. Sean.
Yes, Hannon.
The guard here is entering upon a state of persuasion. Let us proceed to blow up the lorries.
There were other incidents in Brian Hannon's life during the Irish Rebellion, which he has not told me. But in 1924, he married Elizabeth Cronin in County Cork. And in 1927, Brian Hannon opened his Gaelic Bible and read aloud, until finally a puzzled visitor exclaimed,
"Brian Hannon, what's that you're saying?"
"Huh? 'Tis the word of God in Gaelic."
"Well, then, say it in a tongue I can understand."
"Why, man, Gaelic is the Irish language."
"Boy, I'm Irish, but I cannot understand it. Read it in English."
"Very well. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee."
"Brian Hannon, are you going away?"
"I am leaving for America."
"But why?"
"I cannot stay and abide the things that are done here."
I see. I know the feeling.
They say there are a few Irish in America.
Well, we'll be sorry to see you and Elizabeth go.
But I will not be sorry to go. Maybe in America, I can help Ireland.
In the year 1927, Brian and Elizabeth Hannon came to America as immigrants. But a great part of them was left behind in Ireland. The Ireland which includes Belfast as well as Dublin.
"Elizabeth, it seems a shame that Irish men and Irish women cannot speak the Irish language."
"There is nothing you can do about that."
No, there is something. There is the Gaelic Bible. It is a difficult book. Perhaps I can make it less difficult."
And so Brian Hannon came to America with a project. He would write a new Bible in Gaelic. But scholars must live. So he applied for a job in New York City.
"So, Mr. Hannon, you wish to be employed as a motorman by the Third Avenue Transit Corporation?"
Yes, sir.
"Well, I must know something of your habits. Do you drink?"
"Yes, sir. Tea. Hot tea and strong, by the quart."
"Do you smoke?"
I gave it up."
"Is that so? When was that?"
"When I was 8.
"What would you say your disposition was?"
"Quarrelsome."
"Mr. Hannon, what leads you to believe that you should be employed by the Third Avenue Transit Corporation?"
"Well, in the first place..."
"Yes?"
"I have a good hand and a good eye."
"Granted."
"In the second place, I am as intelligent as some."
"That's plain."
"Thirdly, I have the constitution of a horse."
"Go on."
"And fourthly, I can stand a reasonable amount of abuse."
"Brian Hannon, you're hired."
"Oh, thank you, sir. I've picked the route I want, the Broadway line. I am intrigued by the libraries along the way. Also, sir, I should like the 2 o'clock to midnight shift. It is a schedule that permits morning scholarship."
"Mr. Hannon."
"Yes, sir."
"I wonder, Mr. Hannon, have you been hired by the Third Avenue Transit Corporation? Or is it you who's hired the corporation?"
"Oh, sir, that will be demonstrated when I receive my first week's wages." Please.
This was his life, from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until midnight.
Have your fares ready. Use both doors, getting on.
But only from 2 o'clock on. In the morning, Brian Hannon led another existence.
The book you wish is very precious.
I will be responsible, madam.
Are you a university graduate, sir?
Oh, I am a graduate of the New York Public Library. Do I sign here, madam?
This is how the years passed for Brian Hannon. A son was born to Elizabeth.
We'll name him Brian after you.
And a book was born to Brian Hannon Sr.
The Bible Made Easy.
It was a multiple birth.
Volumes 1, 2, and 3. Volume 4 and Volume 5 will be done in a few years.
Now, a trolley car can run on a single track, but a scholar's mind may run in several directions. Perhaps it was because of his son, who had been born in America, that Brian Hannon turned to the study of American history. He published a work called Three American Commodores. And not long after, a motorman of the Third Avenue Transit Corporation received an unusual citation.
I am pleased to inform you that you have been voted an honorary member of the Naval History Society.
It was about this time that Brian Hannon appeared in my office in the library.
Professor, I should like to make the library a gift of my book.
Well, I'm very grateful, Mr. Hannon. Haven't I seen you before someplace?
Do you frequent the public library?
Oh, rarely.
The Columbia Library?
Even less often.
Ah, then it must be the trolley. Of course. You are the gentleman who makes a practice of handing me $5 bills.
And you are the motorman who makes a practice of giving me half my change in pennies.
Well, I am very glad to meet you, Professor.
Oh, Mr. Hannon, you'll never know what your pennies do to the linings of my pockets.
And, Professor, you will never know what your $5 bills do to the lining of my disposition.
That was the beginning of a friendship. In our seminary library, we have a very rare and valuable first edition of the Gaelic Bible. I showed it to Brian Hannon.
Ah, it is enough to make a man cry. Each day I spend 15 minutes to an hour waiting for the Gaelic Bible at the public library. And you have it here.
And so, beginning then, Brian Hannon continued his biblical research in the seminary library. It was scholarship, which had an unusual accompaniment.
I he want to sing, my heart is gay. I want to dance the hours away. Oh, I want to dance through dell and lea. I want to go to grandmammy.
Mr. Hannon.
Oh, excuse me, sir. I was singing in the library.
You were?
A very fine song, though. I wrote the words myself. I made it up for my little son, Brian. I do not approve of Grimm's fairy tales for children. They are much too, grim.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
Then perhaps I have your permission, Professor?
I guess perhaps you have, Mr. Hannon.
Well, thank you, sir.
But not too loud.
Oh, no, I abhor loudness. We'll see the deer and hare at rest. We'll see the wren in mossy nest. We'll fish for trout and chase the bee and dance beneath the apple tree.
Oh, that's very fine. Did you also compose the tune?
No. The air is a variant of the White Cockade, a fine melody sung by the Irish Brigade at Fontenoy in 1745 and by the colonial minutemen at Concord in 1775.
Well, you must write it out for me. I have a friend who might enjoy the melody.
I'll be very glad to, Professor. Then perhaps you can all sing it with me.
It is very safe to claim that there is not another employee of the Third Avenue Transit Corporation like Brian Hannon. I have known him through the great crisis of his life. I remember too well a time when he did not appear at the library, and when at last he did.
Little Brian.
Well, something's happened to your son?
The lad's dead.
Oh, no.
Plane commando. He fell and was hurt inside. It will be hard for his mother.
Brian Hannon does not laugh so much since then, and his face is somewhat paler. But he's still the scholar by day and the bus driver by afternoon and night. Yes, now it is a bus.
Well, for a while I held out against it, but now I like the bus. You can stop it on a thin dime, and that's something that could not be said for the trolley.
I shall tell you one final thing about Brian. He is a Roman Catholic studying in the library of a Jewish seminary, but he presents his books to the Protestant Cathedral of St. John the Divine.
We thank you for your gifts, Mr. Hannon.
Well, here is a new work, Canon. The first chapter of my modernized Gaelic Bible.
Mr. Hannon, is this the Bible you will send to Ireland?
Yes, sir, when it is finished.
Ireland has its independence now.
But it needs its own culture.
The Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech."
Or, as I phrased it, "And there was the world entirely with one language." But, Canon, the language that is meant is justice.
It is a rather free translation, Mr. Hannon.
Very true, Canon. But justice is always in a free translation.
His name is Brian Hannon. If you are in his bus near midnight when the streets are nearly empty, and the last mile remains to be run, perhaps you can hear him sing.
Ah, we'll see the deer and hare at rest. We'll see the wren in mossy nest. We'll fish the trout and chase the bee and dance beneath the apple tree. Step lively, please. Step lively.
He makes his first trip each day that he works at the dot of 2 o'clock, and he's finished at midnight. 5 round trips each day, 10 times to pass the libraries and the university where a scholar spends his mornings. I think it's a story that could only have been told in America.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Label A. Katz of New Orleans, Louisiana, president of B'nai B'rith. Mr. Katz.
I am not prepared to say that the professor in our story today was a member of B'nai B'rith, but then I can't say that he wasn't. A lot of professors and trolley car conductors, too, have left their impact on the 120-year history of our nation's oldest Jewish organization. What I do know about today's delightful episode is that it dramatizes much of the spirit and character of B'nai B'rith. The story of the professor and the trolley car scholar is a story of people. B'nai B'rith's story is also essentially a story of people, all committed to a universal ideal set down by the 12 visionaries who founded it, that of uniting Jews in their highest interests and those of humanity. It is this ideal that today unites in a fellowship of community service such personalities as Jacob Javits and Jonas Salk, Supreme Court Justice Arthur Goldberg, and Sandy Koufax of the Los Angeles Dodgers. The beautiful former Miss America, Bess Meyerson. The distinguished Dr. Joseph Kaplan. The gifted entertainer Jack Benny. And nearly a half million other men, women, and youth. These past months, I've received hundreds of letters congratulating B'nai B'rith upon its historic anniversary. One of these said, and I quote, "For B'nai B'rith, the significance is deepened by its history of creative and enduring achievements. It organized the first disaster relief campaign in our nation. It encouraged major medical advances in the hospitals it sponsored. It pioneered innovations in philanthropy and social service. Its wartime service goes back to the Civil War. It has improved the educational opportunities of our youth. It has helped develop programs to broaden human rights and defend civil liberties. For these varied enterprises, B'nai B'rith is properly honored. Its appeal to the social conscience of peoples everywhere remains fresh and new. The achievements of 120 years are but a prologue to the new tasks and challenges that confront our free society." These anniversary greetings were from the late President Kennedy. They remind us of the insistent quest for a world of universal freedom, where friendships between professors and trolley car conductors can be kindled to illuminate the goodness of man.
Thank you, Mr. Katz. Eternal Light Drama Today, The Trolley Bible of the Broadway Line, written by Morton Wishengrad, was the final one in a series of 13 on American Jewish regional history, marking the 20th year of the Eternal Light Program series. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured were William Redfield and Paul McGrath as Brian Hannon and the Professor. Others in the cast were Alfred Shirley, Leon Janney, Terry Keane, Ethel Everett, Kermit Murdoch, John Moore, Ian Martin, John Griggs, and Norman Rose. We invite you to join us next week when the Eternal Light will present a memorial program in honor of the late Governor Herbert H. Lehman. This is Jerry Damon. Our program was directed by Kenneth McGregor. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, currently marking its year of dedication. This is the NBC Radio Network.